Hey everyone, dealing with the aftermath of two hurricanes is more than stressful, especially when you're also dealing with job loss and trying to rebuild your life.
Yeah, it is. It can feel overwhelming for sure.
For sure. So in this deep dive, we're going to be talking about those looming deadlines for disaster unemployment assistance
Right.
and why FEMA claims might be getting denied. We're going to help you through it.
Yeah, it's important to remember that we're really looking at the combined impact of both Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton.
Right.
Helene hit back on September 26th, and then Milton came right on its heels on October 9th.
Oh, wow.
So it was a real 1-2 punch for a lot of folks here in Florida.
Yeah, for sure. And with those deadlines sneaking up so fast,
Yeah.
let's start by tackling the disaster unemployment assistance.
Okay.
Or DUA for 60 days might seem like a long time,
Mm.
but trust me, after a disaster,
Yeah, it flies.
it flies by.
It flies by.
And this is where I think it can get tricky
Yeah.
for those who are impacted by both Helene and Milton. You need to file separate DUA claims for each hurricane.
Yes, you do.
And the clock starts ticking from the date of the disaster declaration for your specific county.
That's right.
So we're looking at December 2nd for some of those who were hit by Helene and December 10th for certain Milton-affected areas.
That's right.
That's just weeks away.
Yeah, it's coming up quick.
What happens if someone misses the deadline?
I don't know.
Is all hope lost?
Not necessarily. There is a provision for filing late if you have a good reason.
Okay.
So think about if you were hospitalized from injuries that were related to the storm,
Right.
or you had to evacuate to a different state and you had very limited internet access, those would be considered valid reasons.
That makes sense. So it's not just about the deadline itself,
Right.
but it's also about being able to prove why you might have missed it.
Exactly.
Documentation is key here.
Documentation is key. You got it.
So any evidence that you can gather to support your reason for filing late,
Yes.
that's crucial.
Absolutely.
Medical records, evacuation orders,
Yeah.
even communication logs showing that you tried to reach the authorities
Yes.
but couldn't.
Exactly. And most importantly, reach out to those DUA folks as soon as possible if you know you're going to miss that deadline.
Okay, so that's super helpful for DUA.
Yeah.
But of course, disaster assistance isn't just about lost wages.
Right.
Many are also dealing with property damage and are facing those dreaded FEMA denials.
Right. And those denials can be incredibly frustrating.
Yeah.
Take Brenda Hayes, for example.
Okay.
She's a 78-year-old widow from Port St. Lucie who lost her husband to cancer right before Hurricane Milton ripped away the roof that he had been working so hard to replace.
Oh my gosh. That's heartbreaking.
It is.
And to add insult to injury, her FEMA claim was denied.
Unfortunately, yes.
Wow.
And while each case is unique, there are some common reasons why this happens.
Okay.
Sometimes it comes down to existing insurance coverage. You might not realize that your insurance policy might already cover some of the damage that you're claiming, even things like impacts from power outages.
So before you even think about FEMA,
Hmm.
you really have to review your insurance policies thoroughly.
Exactly. Even all that fine print.
Yeah, all the fine print.
Yeah.
Another common pitfall is missing or incorrect documentation.
Yes. This could be anything from a misplaced ID to proof of home ownership or even just a simple typo in your contact info.
Oh, wow.
And for those snowbirds out there, remember, FEMA assistance is only for your primary residence,
Okay.
the one that's listed on your taxes.
Got it. It seems like these denials are happening a lot, especially after Hurricane Milton.
Yes, they are.
We heard from Lynn Elliott, who
Yeah.
had roof, house, and fence damage, and she was also denied by FEMA.
It's true, the system is really being taxed right now. Over 600,000 FEMA claims have been filed in Florida just from Milton.
Wow.
And that doesn't even include those from Helene and Debby.
Oh my goodness.
So, there are bound to be delays and communication challenges.
But this is when people need help the most. It seems like the system should be designed to handle these surges in demand.
You would think so, but the reality is it's a complex process with very limited resources.
Right.
So that's why patience and persistence are key here. Don't just give up after the first try.
Okay.
Explore alternative communication channels like those disaster recovery centers or their online portals. You might have better luck that way.
Okay, so don't give up.
Don't give up.
But let's say you've done everything right, you've filed all the paperwork, and you still get that denial letter.
Okay.
What's the next step?
Appealing that denial is crucial.
Okay.
And remember, a denial is not the final word. You have 60 days from the date on that letter to file an appeal.
Okay.
But before you jump into that,
Yeah.
make sure you understand the specific reason that FEMA gave for the denial.
Okay.
That's your starting point.
So let's break down the appeal process itself.
Yeah.
What documents are absolutely essential for a successful appeal.
Okay, so first and foremost, you'll need your FEMA application number. Make sure to include that along with the specific disaster number for your hurricane on every single page of your appeal documents.
So essentially make it super easy for them to connect your appeal to your initial application.
Exactly. Organization is key here.
Okay.
And if a third party, like a family member or a friend, is helping you with the appeal, you'll also need written consent authorizing them to represent you.
Got it. And just to clarify, there are multiple ways to submit your appeal, right?
You are absolutely right.
It's not just one size fits all.
You can do it online through disasterassistance.gov,
okay,
which is really convenient for uploading documents, or you can go in person to a disaster recovery center.
Right.
And if those options don't work for you, you can always mail or fax your appeal.
You know, those disaster recovery centers sound like a real lifesaver.
They are.
Especially if you're feeling lost in all this paperwork, what kind of support do they actually offer?
They are fantastic resources. Think of them as one-stop shops where you can meet face-to-face with FEMA representatives and other organizations that are offering assistance. They can walk you through that denial letter, help you gather the right documentation, and even submit your appeal right then and there.
That in-person support would be invaluable for so many people, especially those who might be feeling overwhelmed or unsure about the process.
Absolutely. And don't forget, the deadline for federal disaster assistance from FEMA has been extended,
okay,
giving you more time to file for assistance related to Helene and Milton.
Well, that's great.
But remember, this extension doesn't affect the DUA deadline, so be sure to file your DUA claims as soon as possible if you haven't already.
That's a really great point.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to get confused with all these different deadlines and extensions. So we've covered a lot of ground here. DUA deadlines, common reasons for FEMA denials, and even how to navigate that appeals process. But don't worry, we'll dive even deeper in the next part.
Yes, we will.
We'll be exploring those different avenues for appealing and busting some common myths about disaster assistance.
Mm.
So stay tuned.
We'll see you then. It's interesting how many people just assume that a FEMA denial is the end of the road.
Right.
But the appeals process is actually more accessible than you might think.
Okay, so let's dig into those different avenues for appealing. We talked about disasterassistance.gov for the online folks.
Right.
What makes that a good option?
Well, convenience is a big one. It's available 24/7, and you can upload all of your supporting documents through their correspondence upload center.
Okay.
It's basically like a secure digital filing cabinet for your appeal.
That's really helpful for those who are comfortable with online systems. But I know some people really prefer that face-to-face interaction, which is where those disaster recovery centers shine.
Right. Those centers are like lifelines for folks who need that extra personal guidance. Think of it this way. You walk in and you've got FEMA representatives, folks from the Small Business Administration and other organizations all ready to help. They can help decipher that denial letter, make sure you've got all the right paperwork, and even help you submit the appeal right there.
That's amazing. Having someone walk you through it step by step would be such a relief, especially when you're in the middle of all this chaos.
Absolutely. And for those who can't make it to a center, there's always the option of mailing or faxing your appeal.
Okay.
Just remember to use certified mail so you have proof that FEMA actually received it.
Good point. Got to cover all the bases. So let's say you've chosen your method. You're sitting down to write that appeal. What are the key elements that need to be included?
Okay, so this is where being clear and organized is super important. Right off the bat, state your FEMA application number and the disaster number at the top of every single page. Then clearly state that you are appealing their decision and include the date from your denial letter.
Okay, so make it crystal clear what you're doing and make it easy for them to connect all the dots. What comes next?
Next comes the heart of the appeal, addressing the specific reason they gave for denying your claim. This is where you present your counterargument and provide evidence that supports your eligibility for assistance.
Okay.
Think photos of the damage contractor, estimates, receipts for repairs, anything that backs up your case.
It sounds like documentation is everything here.
It is. The more evidence you have, the stronger your case will be.
For sure.
Yeah.
And if there were any circumstances beyond your control that might have impacted your application, like, let's say a family emergency that delayed your response.
Yeah.
Explain those in detail.
Yes, and provide supporting evidence.
Yeah.
Remember Brenda Hayes?
Yes.
She might want to highlight the circumstances surrounding her husband's passing and her caregiving responsibilities for her granddaughter.
That's a perfect example of how those personal circumstances can play a role. Sometimes those details can make all the difference.
Absolutely. It's about telling your story clearly and comprehensively.
But what if, despite all that, the appeal is denied? Is that the end of the line?
Not necessarily. There is a second level of appeal that can be submitted to FEMA headquarters.
Okay.
This gets a bit more formal and often involves legal representation.
Okay, so while we hope that everyone's first appeal is successful, it's good to know that there are additional options if needed.
Absolutely.
So we've talked a lot about FEMA, but let's not forget about those DUA deadlines. What's the latest on those?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, the deadline for federal disaster assistance from FEMA has been extended, which is fantastic news. It means people have more time to apply for help with both Hurricane Helene and Milton.
That's a huge relief for so many people, I'm sure. But just to be clear, this FEMA extension doesn't change the DUA deadlines, right?
That's right, those DUA deadlines are still in place and they're coming up fast. So if you haven't filed your DUA claims, don't delay.
Okay, so lots to keep track of. We've covered FEMA appeals, DUA deadlines, and even those disaster recovery centers. Is there anything else that our listeners should know about navigating these processes?
You know, something that people often overlook is staying informed. FEMA's website and floridajobs.org for DUA are gold mines of information. They regularly update their fact sheets and FAQs, so check them frequently for the latest developments and answers to common questions.
That makes a lot of sense. Things can change so quickly in these situations.
Exactly. And never underestimate the power of human connection. If you're feeling lost or you just need someone to talk to, don't hesitate to call FEMA's helpline or visit a disaster recovery center. They are staffed with people who are trained to guide you with compassion and understanding.
It's really reassuring to know that that level of support exists, especially during such a challenging time.
Absolutely. And this brings us to a very crucial message. Don't give up. The systems may seem complex and frustrating at times, but with persistence and the right information, you can navigate them successfully. Remember, there is help available, and you are not alone in this journey.
I love how you always bring it back to that sense of hope and empowerment. It's easy to feel defeated after a disaster, but it's so important to remember that there is light at the end of the tunnel.
There is.
We'll be back with the final part of our deep dive, where we'll tackle some common misconceptions about disaster assistance and explore additional resources to help you get the support you deserve. So stay tuned. We're back for the final part of our deep dive, and before we wrap up,
Yeah.
let's tackle some of those common misconceptions about disaster assistance
Okay.
that can trip people up.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You know, one of the biggest myths that I hear is that if you have insurance,
Yeah.
you automatically don't qualify for FEMA assistance.
I bet a lot of people assume that your
Yeah.
insurance should cover you.
Well, it's not quite that simple. Insurance is definitely your first line of defense,
Yeah.
but FEMA can sometimes step in to help with what your insurance doesn't cover.
Yeah.
For example, a lot of insurance policies these days have really high deductibles, especially after all the recent storms.
Yeah, that's true.
FEMA might be able to help with those out-of-pocket expenses.
Oh, I see. So even if you have insurance,
Yeah.
it's still worth exploring that FEMA assistance, just in case there are gaps in coverage.
Absolutely. And here's another myth we hear all the time.
Okay.
FEMA assistance is only for homeowners,
Right.
but that's simply not true. Renters are also eligible for assistance if their primary residence was damaged in the disaster.
That's important to clarify. Renters often get overlooked in these situations.
They do.
So it's great that FEMA offers support for them too.
Right. They can apply for help with things like temporary housing, replacing personal property, and even covering moving expenses. And this brings us to another misconception.
Okay.
My neighbor got approved, so I should automatically get approved too.
Ah, yes. The comparison game, it's only natural to look around and see what others are receiving, but I imagine that can be misleading.
It definitely can. Every single case is unique. FEMA evaluates applications based on very specific criteria,
Claire.
like the extent of the damage, your insurance coverage, and your individual needs. So just because your neighbor got approved doesn't guarantee that you will, and vice versa.
So it's all about those individual details. What's the best way for people to avoid falling prey to these misconceptions and make sure that they're getting accurate, up-to-date information?
Go straight to the source. Don't rely on rumors or social media chatter. FEMA's website is an incredible resource, as is the floridajobs.org website for DUA. They've got fact sheets, FAQs, and even really helpful videos that break down the processes step by step.
You're always emphasizing those trusted sources.
Yes.
And it's a great reminder. It's so easy to get lost in a sea of misinformation, especially during a crisis.
It is. And if you're still confused or you just need some clarification, FEMA's helpline is available 24/7. Their representatives are trained to provide personalized guidance, and they can even help you locate a disaster recovery center near you.
Speaking of those centers,
Yeah.
can you remind us why those are such valuable resources?
Think of them as your in-person lifeline. You've got representatives from FEMA, the Small Business Administration, and other organizations all under one roof, ready to answer your questions, help you fill out those applications, and even offer a listening ear during this stressful time.
It's really heartwarming to know that these centers offer that human touch, that sense of community, when people need it most.
It really makes a difference. And it all comes back to that crucial message that we want to leave our listeners with. Don't give up. You have options, you have resources, and you have people who want to help. The road to recovery after a disaster can be long and challenging, but with persistence and the right information, you can get through this.
I love that you've consistently highlighted that human element of disaster assistance throughout this entire deep dive. And it's such a powerful reminder that it's not just about forms and deadlines. It's about people helping people through incredibly difficult times.
Exactly. And knowing that you're not alone can make all the difference.
So for anyone out there feeling overwhelmed by those FEMA appeals or struggling to navigate the DUA process, remember this. You're not alone. There is help available. And most importantly, there is hope for a brighter future. We've given you the tools. Now it's time to use them.
That concludes our deep dive on navigating disaster assistance deadlines and appeals. We sincerely hope that this information has been helpful and empowering. Remember to stay strong, stay informed, and never give up.
We'll be back next time with another deep dive into a topic that matters to you. Until then, take care.